there was Fat Boy Slim. And I was like, he was born in Bromley, same hospital as me. And he went, oh. And I said, would you do a masterclass for my young people? And he went, DM me and I'll get back to you. So I DM'd him and he did. He came and did a masterclass. You pinch yourself moments all the time. You'd be like, I started working with some footballers, some business people who had estate agents and or people that had ideas and they wanted them developed. Determination, I can take no's. Like I could just flick them off. Like, okay, you said no. When I started applying for university, I got told no, no, no. I do remember being very angry as a young person and being angry actually as a woman. I remember being like, why? I'm all about collaboration. I think the world, we have to work together to make the impact that we need to make. Always, always meeting people and always creating conversation. I thought, do you know what? This isn't good.
So Lisa, wow, that was a whirlwind, wasn't it?
It was really good.
Yeah.
Really
good. What did you find most impactful about what Lisa shared?
Just where she came from and how she got to where she was, just by flicking the nose off and just keep going.
Yeah.
Don't take no for an answer.
Yeah. And she really has not taken no for an answer, has she?
No.
I mean, yeah, to go from where she was to where she is now is just incredible.
Yeah.
And what a whirlwind of a journey it was. So I'm really thinking that our audience are going to love it. So
Definitely. Let's
hand you over to this episode.
Hi, I'm Lisa and I'm taking you behind the future.
Welcome to another episode of Behind the Future. Now, we have our regular co-host, Jess, back with us today. Jess, I would love you to introduce yourself.
Yes, so I'm Jess. I'm currently in year 13 at Mason Girls Grammar School. I'm studying media, business, economics, and I'm hoping to go into marketing after I leave, whether that's through an apprenticeship or university.
Love that. And it's, oh, I heard the year 13 this time. We've got up a year since last time you were on. This is brilliant. And then we have the amazing Lisa Goodchild with us. Lisa, tell us a bit about yourself.
So I am Lisa Goodchild. I am the chief troublemaker at DigiLearning. I've also got a social media consultancy I've had forever that I dip in and out of. That's me.
Amazing troublemaker. I love that. Let's make some trouble today. I love it. So Jess, over to you for the first question.
So what's your role? What do you do in like normal day to day?
What do I do in normal day to day? I do a lot, you know. So I answer emails. I have to try and work out what we're going to do with the charity for the future. And I think actually, as I was saying, going back to when I was a child, picking up too many things and being hyper independent can be quite a problem. And I've only started working that out. So I take on way too much and I'm trying to let go. So I will do things from social media to working out what the next year will look like in terms of our marketing, in terms of leads as well. Because as a charity, I've got my charity, as a charity, you've got to always look at what's next and what's coming, and money runs out. And lots of people, you'd be surprised, don't really give money to charities. Not that, but I'd say there's a lot of charities, and there's charities that have, you know, not necessarily more meaning, but immediate action that's needed. So obviously cancer charities and things like that, you know, they need money straight away. So it's quite hard amongst the charity game. So that's something I really have to focus on, is trying to get support. I don't focus enough on it. I haven't done for years. So we haven't had massive, massive funding, but we get great funding from great organisations that support us. And what we do get is an awful lot of amazing people giving their time. So reaching out to like people who would give us masterclasses. We take our young people to places like Cannes Lions, to Possible, etc. So yeah, day to day is pretty, pretty chaotic. I try and do my Mondays so I don't do as much. So this is quite a treat coming out here. On a Friday, I try and leave it open so it's sort of catch up. So any meetings that I've not really had, I try and fulfill then. And I try and do 2 days going to events, because I don't do that enough. And if you don't get out there, I think, especially during the summer, you get very complacent. And, you know, it's something that we saw in COVID, people losing their confidence, not going out, not doing stuff. And I think, yeah, summer sort of does that to me, like, now I've got to go back out to the wide world and face reality. So, yeah.
Need to always be meeting people, don't you?
Always, always meeting people and always creating conversation.
And I think the charity point is a tough one, isn't it? Because so many people care.
Yeah.
And actually, maybe we need to get to the number of what DigiLearning does. Yeah. But you'll find so many people will care. You explain and they go, well, that sounds lovely. And then you're like, will you give me some money for it? Oh, I haven't got any money for it. Yeah. So it's finding the ones that have got a stream of money that they're willing to put towards something like this. Because it's not that they don't care, but it's just
there's so a lot many of things causes. Going out. Yeah.
And businesses are finding it tough at the moment as well. So tell us more about what DigiLearning does.
Yeah, so DigiLearning is a charity that I set up 5 years ago. We support under-resourced young people and we help them get into rooms. We have boot camps that run throughout the year, so working with amazing organisations like Accenture, Channel Factory, who are really big main supporters, and other organisations. But, you know, brilliant thing about working with companies like Accenture is they've got a lot of amazing partners like Microsoft, CrowdStrike. So they get to come in, our young people get to them. My aim is just to get young people into rooms. So, you know, last week we took our young people into the BBC, BBC Live, and that was amazing for them to get to go and see a proper studio. It's amazing for me at my big age, let alone at that age, and getting to sit in the news chair and just actually see how many roles are needed behind the scenes as well. I think that's really important for our young people, but building those networks. So there were some brilliant news presenters that were there and they were handing out their emails. So, you know, for me, that's my young people have already got those people as contacts now. That's my job done. So my aim is to get young people into rooms. We take them to Cannes Lions, as I mentioned. So we take a group of young people every year.
And if people don't know what Cannes Lions is.
Oh, it's insane. That's what it is. It's a week of activations. I don't think I've ever experienced anything like it in my life. It's 10,000 conferences in one location. You know, 1 minute you'll be like, you pinch yourself moments all the time. You'll be like, getting taken to a concert and Idris Elba's playing and then Fatboy Slim and then Kylie's performing in front of your face, or you'll walk into a lounge and, you know, someone like Queen Latifah's there, the actress from the US. So Cannes Lions is it's about advertising and creativity. It is the biggest conference in the world around creativity. They have got the most phenomenal team as well. I'm really pushing the boundaries in getting young people into the mix, getting a diverse audience as well, because the more diverse your audience, the more, you know, knowledge and information is going to be spread and shared. And what we did this year, though, was so cool. We got given a boat, so a super yacht. My young people got to go on a super yacht for 2 hours. And then Media Ocean, amazing company, obviously, for giving us that. And they were just so sweet because they took everything off my shoulders as well. So they were like, Lisa, do you want this? And they structured it all, which this is what really helps me as a charity, is people going, we can do this, we can help you. And then they got a Michelin star chef in. They invited senior leaders, because everyone in Cannes is pretty senior. So from Disney, Comcast, all came, met our young people.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we ended up on this boat called Harbour View, and Wycliffe was performing. And I don't know if my daughter's 20. She didn't know who Wycliffe was, but then she heard him sing and she knew every single one of his songs. Then he played 10 instruments literally on the deck.
Wow.
Then we ended up in a nightclub and he ended up protecting us because they were trying to get me to pay for a 900 bottle of booze for the table. And
I was like, charity.
That's definitely not us. And he went, get behind me. And I was like, this is really cool. Why can he save me the day? lots of pinch me moments in Cannes. And then there's another conference that is only 3 years old, Possible in Miami. And Christian, the founder, and the team are unbelievable, really supportive and really open to getting young people there with us. So we work massively with Creative Ladder. They're one of our partners. Deonna there, she's unbelievable. And that's also founded by Ryan Reynolds. No, I've not met him yet. But that's an amazing activity, because what's brilliant is we bring young people. So we've brought young people from the UK, Barbados and Jamaica, and then local as well. And then Creative Ladder will bring young people. And we also teamed up with another organisation called Unity this year. So young people came from Arkansas, which is in the middle of, it's like Midwest, isn't it? It's like in the middle of nowhere. So for them to get to come and hang out with us as well. So you've got the Brits all sort of started congregating with each other. They do drinks and that. And, you know, Andy Oakes at New Digital Age and Lydia, they welcomed our young people and said, look, come and join us. We'll get the drinks. Like, great. Thank you for that, because it saves us some budget. So all of those things, our young people just excel as well. That's what's amazing. When you take young people to, when you meet senior people and you start realising they're just the same as you, that's what it's about. And that's what I'm about. So I get my young people into rooms so they know that they belong in rooms.
Love that.
Sounds amazing.
How do we get an invite? Is that the next question?
Yeah. Applications open in December.
Oh, there we go.
Going back a bit, how did you kind of get to where you are now? So obviously you went to university.
Yeah.
What did you kind of do? Where did you go from there?
Yeah, well, university, I was very lucky to even get into university because I grew up in extreme poverty. So, you know, there's council estates. We was the bottom. We used to knock on doors for pounds for the heater. It was cold in the 80s. So, yeah, this room feels like nothing like that. we used to have to really hustle. My mum suffered from massive mental health issues. So we didn't get fed, you know, but we just had a lot of fun. And I do believe that's given me so many skills in making it happen and pushing boundaries and just determination. I can take no's. Like, I could just flick them off. Like, okay, you said no. Let me ask again. I'll ask the same person again. And it's so funny. There's a few people and they just, I can see now, because, you know, people watch you and think, what is she doing? She's got this charity, you know. Now they're thinking, Lisa's really doing this. She's really making it happen. But I didn't get any GCSEs. I got one C. I was selling, my mum had me selling heroin at 13. So life was very different. I was exposed to a lot of bad stuff. And she was also quite violent towards me. So, you know, I had a lot of stresses. I moved my boyfriend in at 13. That gives you perspective. I mean, who is allowed to move their boyfriend in at 13. Anyway, I have got two children with him now, so it's okay.
So that worked out well.
You know, so I didn't really, I had a lot going on, so I didn't really go to school, was a real rebel. Obviously, as I mentioned, I went to school with Rachel Reeves, which we were definitely different ends of the spectrum. And she was lucky enough to have two parents. Okay, they were divorced, but, you know, from what I've read, they were teachers, which I think anyone I know that had a teacher as a parent, it really gives them a head start because they just understand what the young people have to do to get ahead. So I remember my English teacher saying, you're gonna get an F for English. And I was like, I can't get an F for English. That's embarrassing. Okay, so I will focus on at least English. So I came out with a C. I did a business administration course, basically secretarial course at Bromley College, which I learned to touch type, which best skill ever. So I'm not going to, you know, that really helped. But also it's equivalent to 4 A to C grades. So I managed to blag myself onto a GMVQ, which was equivalent to A levels, which was in media production. And that was really cool because that was obviously the beginning of the internet. We was doing a lot of radio. We had a little radio studio at Bromley College. It was really, really good. And I think, as a person, because of the way I was brought up, rules and school definitely didn't fit for me. It was, you know, I just didn't get, why are you bothering me about my coat, my one coat that I've got? Why are you trying to take my coat off of me and confiscate it? And I remember I'd taken myself out of the English room so I wasn't naughty with the other girls because I just got influenced. I made them, I sat outside and the teacher still came along and tried to take my coat off me. And I ended up getting an argument. I just never got into, why are we so bothered about a school uniform? My daughter's at a school now, and the detentions element, I'm like, seriously, guys, can we get a grip? Because you can imagine in work, if we start giving out detentions, you've got detention, you came in late, what is this? Why is there so much detachment? It's very weird for me. So I think I was a right rebel. But what really fit well with me was when I started applying for university, I got told no. So I went into clearing, it was a no, because obviously the way my had one GCSE. And then I had a GMVQ. They're like, what is this girl trying to do? But I didn't give up. And I contacted the lecturer at Greenwich University. And I just knew this course was going to be amazing. It was like internet. And I just knew that the internet was going to be big and tech. And I loved creating. So I stalked Tony Mann, and Tony always shares this story as well, because he had to fight for me to get into the university. And I sat at the front of that class every single day, and I loved it. And you did coding, you made music, you had to use MySQL, which I absolutely hated, Visual Basics. I heard that they still use Visual Basic code, and I thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. But apparently it's quite powerful and strong, but I do know Visual Basics. But university, yeah, I remember the first piece of coursework, and I got like the best in the class. And I think that was a real leveler, because everyone was from different backgrounds. There was people from private schools, grammar school, you know, every type of background. And there was little me, and I managed to get that. And then I came out of university and I got a first. Dot-com crash, no jobs. I was like, oh my gosh. But I'd been building websites for people while I was at university. And when I look at my websites now, I think, oh my gosh, I was really, really good. Because actually big agencies were not producing what little Lisa was doing with a 32 megabyte computer in Penge. So I started working with some footballers, some business people who had estate agents, and or people that had ideas and they wanted them developed. So I remember there was one like Jet Wash, and it was, they had to jet wash the radiator system. It was a law that was coming in, you know, really cool things like that. And then really cool things like footballers paying you a lot of money because they wanted to create a music label. So I created my own company then. I've got Dizino Designs, that's what it was called. And I remember actually Podge, which I love Podge, best event ever of the year. They found it, and I thought, how on earth did they find that? Because, you know, they do go back. I think it was a Back to the Future theme. I was like, how on earth have they found that? Wow. But I've always just, for my dissertation, I built the most amazing website, and it had e-commerce, and it had, you could do walkthroughs through the school. Like, they're boasting about doing that now. You know, the stuff that we was doing with bare minimum. And that's what I loved. I think the early days were really special, because you had to make do with nothing and make magic happen. Like, sit there praying at your computer that it wasn't going to crash, because it was only 32 megabytes. I mean, people send that in one video file, like, just willy-nilly now. You just would have such difficulty sending anything. Anything big was just ridiculous. And actually, I think it would be interesting for young people to look at that, because I think now we've become so spoiled with data, and we're not realising the implications of data on the world, and just overuse and taking it for granted. Like, I've got about 250,000 emails unopened in my Yahoo. I just want someone to remove them. Yahoo, please take them.
You've heard it here, Yahoo. Get rid of these emails. God, that would, I couldn't stand seeing that number. I'm like, can you get the inbox down?
I'm terrible.
Oh dear. Wow, what a journey.
Yeah. And that's not even just it.
Yeah.
For all the latest marketing and brand news, follow The Drum Mag on Instagram.
So what happened from there?
So I had Dizino Designs. Then my dad came back in my life and I went traveling. So I sold that company and I started working for an amazing guy called Dan Wagner. And he's got a brilliant organization now called Resolve AI. Dan was really revolutionary. So he had bought the Boo.com software, which was from the dot-com crash, and they had spent millions and millions on creating the e-commerce. You know, we didn't have the bandwidth. Basically, they were ahead of their time. But Dan was lucky enough to purchase it, and we were taking organisations like Ted Baker, Mothercare, Panasonic to market. So selling in, you know, everyone's going to be buying online. And it was such a weird time, because everyone thought no one would buy online, and now we know everybody buys online. It's ridiculous. And again, I went and then had my daughter, came back, and I took a business idea to him, which was a shopping comparison website, and he invested. And the investment didn't go to the way necessarily I wanted it. I had a business partner and I walked away. But what was really interesting was at the time, it was like blogs were coming in. Everyone was a blogger, you know, was going to the catwalk shows. They wouldn't even let the bloggers sit at the front. Right. It was absolutely, it was so elitist. It was shocking. But we love crashing that. So yeah, give me something to crash and I'll do that. So, you know, behind the scenes, Twitter, I was doing Twitter meetups. I started working with a lot of designer brands as well. So, you know, we had two shopping comparison websites and then I think 11 blogs altogether. So it was quite, it was like the biggest female network of its time. But I thought, you know what, this isn't good, what's going on. And as much as Dan had a nice Bentley, my business partner thought it was really cool. I was like, it doesn't mean that this, just because someone has a nice car doesn't mean that you're aligned. So at the time, me and Dan weren't aligned. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to go and create my own social media agency. And no one was doing social media. So it was really, really cool, very exciting times. And it's really sad, I think, now with social media, the way it's gone with the trolling, the attacking. It used to be such a beautiful space, in particular when you'd go and meet everyone and be sharing. And Twitter was a cool place, now X. Yeah, and it wasn't like people digging people out. It was everyone helping each other. So it was a beautiful community. And for me, I think owning that niche, that having that social media element gave me such a head start as well for my career. You know, obviously I didn't have a black book. No one in my family had a job. So unless there was some jobs, but I don't know whether they'll be legal. Most half of them were, you know, in prison or whatever else I'd visited. So life was very different. Yeah. But yeah, I think social media has been unbelievable for me to grow and build connections and learn as well. I think you learn a lot.
Yeah.
And watching all the different spaces. I mean, who would have thought these 10 million spaces? There's so many spaces that you've got to go and look at. And then I did the Marketing Academy and that was amazing. And the Marketing Academy, for people who don't know, it's a not-for-profit organisation. They take 30 amazing marketeers in the UK. They also do it in Australia and the US more recently. And it's life-changing. You go through a year of just unbelievable experiences, boot camps. It's really, that was a leveler as well for me because I was in a room with people who were, you know, they have to take a couple of entrepreneurs like me, but everyone was like, you know, marketing at Mars or, you know, so having, sitting down with different types of people who have been marketeers at these massive organisations for years and actually thinking, yeah, I know you might have a £40 million budget, but try and work off a £40 one and we'll see what magic you can make. It's a lot harder. So that was a leveler. And the Marketing Academy, yeah, you got to go and have roundtables with like the chairman of Saatchi & Saatchi and Global Rate. It was unbelievable. Pinch me moments. And then after that, Sherilyn asked me to be the, Sherilyn's the founder of the Marketing Academy. She asked me to be the trustee for the Marketing Academy Foundation, which is an amazing charity. Does some brilliant work. So apprentices, they have apprenticeships. So young people get to work at places like Amazon, you know, and be supported all throughout the year. But then have lots of opportunities because it's quite a family. The Marketing Academy becomes a family. So DigiLearning at my charity works closely as well with the Marketing Academy Foundation. We'll take young people to Cannes Lions and do collaborations. So yeah, it's been an amazing journey. I love it.
You've done so much.
Yeah.
How did you make that all happen though from the start that you had? Because it felt like, because you didn't have a role model at home, but the sounds of it that had been there and done it for you to go, oh yeah, I can go there and do that. How do you, in that situation, how did you put yourself out there and make those opportunities happen?
I do remember being very angry as a young person and being angry actually as a woman. I remember being like, why? Why have men got, you know, why? They look like, I just didn't get it. I think life brings you very different opportunities and it's about working out, you know, what ones you're going to pick and how you're going to progress and,
It's that fight that you've got there is just incredible. I suppose you were saying earlier how you don't mind no, you'll just ask again.
Yeah.
And I guess a lot of people are worried about no's, aren't they? Like you hear a no and it's, oh, okay.
No, my daughter will cry if I tell her no. I don't know about now. My daughters get quite upset.
Yeah. But
Yeah, I don't know. There wasn't like, because people say, was there one thing? You know, there was lots of bad stuff that happened. And I remember thinking, I'm not going to be that. I do not want that. And I, when I was like 15, I'd walk around in a shift dress and a blazer. I don't know who I thought I was. Everyone else was in trainers and jeans.
Love it. But I guess it's part of it, isn't it? It's like putting a different persona on to where you've come from to go, do you know what? I'm going to be this person and I'm going to go and make these things happen. It's incredible because so many other people would have come from that situation and would have got trapped in it.
Yeah, yeah, that is what happens. And that's what's really sad. And that's why digi learning for me is so important. Having mentors. I never had someone to look at my CV. I never had someone to ask a question. So if I can be that for a young person or provide that through our because we have our mentoring that goes on throughout the year as well. If I can do that, then, you know, I get so much from it. Yeah.
I think that's the thing with mentoring, isn't it? Yeah. I think people always think, oh, it's awkward asking for someone to be my mentor. And it's like most mentors get a lot from it themselves as well. Like
they do.
It helps you, doesn't it? Yeah, I love mentoring.
Reverse mentoring. I think also we're in a day and age where we need to really start listening to young people.
Yeah.
I think society doesn't listen to young people enough.
Yeah.
They have so much to bring to the table. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And if we keep on going, oh, well, I'm so important because I've been doing this for so many years, like we need to get a grip. And also we're complacent and we are creatures of habit when we get to a certain age, you know.
Yeah.
Me and you, we'll go home, we know what we're doing. Young people, they're on an adventure and so they should be, but they're always thinking and doing fresh new stuff and giving us fresh eyes.
Yeah.
And I really do think it's something organisations are missing out on massively. We must include them in conversations. It's really important, that reverse mentoring element. Oh, that helps.
And making space for them to be curious, because I think sometimes that curiosity can get shut down of, oh, I haven't got time, just haven't got time for you to ask me these things. Like, we're just, this is how we've always done it. Whereas actually, that one question that makes you go, oh, hold on, we've got this all wrong here. And although that's going to create a load of work, it's going to help you because it's made you think differently. And you've got to make space for that creativity and that curiosity to come out.
Years ago actually we did work because we would do Madfest every year. Madfest is the best event as well. They're beautiful, all of these people, just beautiful teams, and they let us take over the stage. We get a live brief, our young people get to go off, create a pitch, and then present it on stage. And one year we got NatWest gave us a brief and our young people ripped it apart. I mean, they were like, they called themselves Scrap This as a team. I was like, okay, If we're gonna go that deep, we need to find solutions, guys, and be very smiley. But NatWest team were amazing. Brilliant lady, Michelle Booth. I don't think she's there anymore, but she worked with us on that, and they took so much from it. NatWest, they actually pulled the product because they knew they hadn't worked with young people and found out and understood where young people were coming from. And then they got them to present to the whole marketing team online to talk. Yeah, because if we did that with so many different things, I mean, we'd learn so much.
What a moment. I love that. Scrap that. Yeah. Awkward.
What's one piece of advice that you'd always give to students that just wouldn't change?
Don't take the word no. And next opportunity, like, no is not the end, you know. And for me, failing can feel really, really bad at the time, but it's the best thing that will ever happen to you as well. You learn so much from those failures. And also it's usually those times that are really hurtful, like, you know, with Dan and I took in the business and it was hot, you know, I was crying. It was my baby. I was like, I've put so much into this, but it was the best thing that I ever did. And I only realised that later. Me and Dan are still friends and, you know, I'm going to try and get him to support Digi Learning.
Come on, Dan, come on. But it's true though, isn't it? Those low moments where you think, oh, this is the worst of the worst, are the ones where the best stuff can come out of it.
Yeah.
It's just asking yourself, like, how can I turn this around into being the best thing that's ever happened? I've now got a blank slate. I can do something different or whatever. We do hear that a lot on the podcast. I think we've had a lot of people where they've been made redundant or they've lost something or it's gone wrong. And it is a turning point to go, I can make anything happen now.
Yeah. And I think it's the way you deal with those situations that will get you through, you know, the more resilient you can be to that, I think the more you'll be able to progress as well.
What's been the toughest challenge?
toughest challenge? Gosh, I think sometimes you think, you'll get up in the morning and think, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? You know, you might have had a bad week. I think those dips, but I've got really good on that, learning how to deal with dips of confidence, or if you get too many no's, you're like, really? Seriously, guys? And then something magical will happen. Life is, I think as well, I always do vision boards. So I have, you know, a good perspective. If I feel bad, I will, or if I've had a bad week, I'll start going on walks. I'll go and touch a tree, you know, I'll go and walk in the forest. For me, getting out as well, more in nature. I've got six cats. The six cats do help me calm down. But I do think that as a skill as well, learning when, you know, maybe you've burnt yourself out a bit too much. Maybe you've overdone it. So how to look after yourself and just take a step back, you know, go for a walk, do a lot more. Music is my religion. So, you know, I just put on some banging tunes and dance around the kitchen. And I love a bit of baking, a bit of gardening. So, yeah, I think finding those things that take you out away from the rubbish as well, and having really good humans around you, really good people, I think is so, so important. Really good friends.
I love that. I think knowing yourself is so important, yeah, isn't it? And knowing what to do when you are in a bit of a low, or like you just get to moments where you're like, I can't do this today. Yeah. And do you know what? Sometimes it's okay to I'm not going to do this today. I'm going to change it up.
I'm going to sit in my PJs and I'm going to go and do my nails and I'm going to really. Yeah, it is knowing those moments actually to just take a step back, because you can do more damage to yourself pushing yourself and be not very productive as well. You know, sometimes you can just like be so productive and complete something in half an hour. You know, like there was a report that I was trying to get done. I'm like, oh my gosh. But I did it so quickly once I focused. So yeah, sometimes, and I had to just take myself away from the report because I wasn't getting it done. So I left it and then I managed to get it done in record time.
Yeah. I always work better under pressure as well. Yeah. So I almost sometimes, if I start trying to do something too early to the deadline, I'm never going to get it done.
Yeah.
I need to get a bit closer, and then the pressure.
Yeah, I'm a bit like that. But it's not good. We're not supposed to do that, are we?
But if you learn that that's how it works for
you,
I wouldn't recommend it to others. But again, it's about knowing yourself, isn't it?
Yeah.
How are you embracing AI, and how are you looking at that with young people? Because I know there's a lot of fear out there of there's no jobs left. AI is going to take everything. Yeah. Are you seeing that?
Our focus as a charity is AI, cybersecurity, and creative marketing. And all of our boot camps and everything we do has threads of that. And I think with every technology, or, you know, every evolution that's happened, we just need to have a growth mindset. And that's something I've always done. I will be learning. I don't know what retirement is. I will be learning until the... I think that's what we're here for. Yeah. This is what we're here on Earth for, is to keep on learning. And if we can, you know, building confidence with our young people on how to use the AI tools. And obviously we know there's a huge issue with women, because us lovely females think we're cheating or something. Men don't mind cheating, obviously. Apparently we feel away. So we need to just build confidence with people using the tools and understanding it's not, you know, this alien thing that nobody's going to use. I remember years ago trying to get organizations to understand social media, like B2B, to use social media. And people were like, well, why would a B2B use social media? And I used to think, I just didn't get it. I was like, why wouldn't they? They're all humans. They're all on, personally, they're all on Facebook. You're still going to connect with them. So, yeah.
Just a quick note from me. We'd love you to hit the subscribe button. This helps us more than you might realize when it comes to growing this podcast, ensuring we can bring you the best guests possible. Thank you. Back to the episode. Going into year 13, is anything different with AI? Are you seeing it at school at the moment?
I mean, we've had some like sessions on AI. So one of our teachers is very on it, and they're trying to teach us to use it in a way that's good for us and not, oh, I can't bother to do my homework, I'm just going to put it through here.
Yeah.
But I will use it. But I feel bad for using it sometimes. I won't ever use it to just do, oh, can you do this for me?
Yeah.
I'll use it to generate ideas. Yeah. So it gets my head going, because I've struggled to actually start and know where to start. So that's what it helps.
And that's it. It's learning to use it for those brilliant, you know, they're the areas that people should be using it. What I am scared of, though, is, you know, our education system, and it, bless the teachers, they do an amazing job. It's not their fault. They've inherited a broken system that is not fit for purpose anymore. And it's not exciting. You know, you guys should be going into school bouncing, going, oh my gosh, we're going to go and create this. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? We're going to create content for TikTok. Like, that is not a thing. Or using AI, we have to, like, I get putting mobiles away and I get restricting them, but we must help you understand how to use them. But maybe it's because we don't know how to use them either, because the technology has moved at such a fast pace. So yeah, it is, we're all learning at such a massive space. But I think, yeah, teachers, I do feel sorry for them. They've got a lot to deal with, but they do need to embrace AI. I believe that we need to create a system where teachers need to go and do work experience, because most teachers have never had a job. They're advising our young people on getting a job. That's for them to have growth as well in leadership. Could you imagine? They could get to go to TikTok and Google and Accenture and experience, yeah, you know, the technology, what's going on. And it would give them such a great insight into how things are moving and how they could be using it to implement, yeah, things in their class.
Such a good point. We always make sure at the Aspiration Digital events that the, yeah, teachers come and they watch and they learn, because, yeah, they can use it to empower what they do next. Yeah. I think you're so right, like, school is more like a tick box, isn't it? Because I've got, yeah, to do it, as opposed to rocking up going, this is the keys to my future, yeah, and this is what my future could look like, and these are all the opportunities, and this is why I'm learning what I'm learning, yeah, and how it ties in. That's all missing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's such a huge task to try and fix, it isn't
is it? Because it's inherited. But is it? You know, have we created it into such a huge task? Is, and what's scary is, you know, the state schools, you're at a grammar school, the grammar schools are doing well. You know, my daughter Mia went to a phenomenal grammar school, and don't get me wrong, there's other state schools that are doing phenomenal as well, but they do need support. They need support from industry massively, yeah, like what you're doing and what we're doing,
yeah,
for our young people to have their minds opened up into what's out there. But as I said, the teachers, they would learn different techniques from what they would learn from organizations, especially around leadership.
Yeah,
like, this is some old hat leadership that we're doing in school. Good morning, Mr. Blah Blah. Hello, Mrs. Herder. I just can't do it anymore. Seriously.
Is that still happening?
Of course it is.
God. I mean, I guess it is.
It,
yeah,
is. It I get it, cringe, because it does create a respect. But is there an element, we're so, detentions, like, what is a detention? And the excitement, like, if we had, say we created different areas, so we had like music and we had film and TV, and, you know, and you could go in these zones and learn about, like, you could do just brilliant stuff. Yeah. I just couldn't. The kids were just, my young people, you know, from what you do, when they're given the opportunities, they run for it, and they really do shine as well. I mean, we've got a young gentleman, Giovanni, and he blows me away. He was a premier footballer. Then he went, oh, let me do music. So then he went into music and he won the BBC rap game. Now he's doing AI, and he's got a thing called Come Outside, which is getting young people, well, getting all people actually in Leeds to get outside and go on walks and hacks. And
love it.
Yeah, he's just brilliant. Yeah. And he's creating his own business. He's getting mentored. He came and joined us in Miami. But the more young people are exposed to industry, taking them into the offices, so our social mobility month, getting them, you know, had young people come into Spotify going, I've never been in the corporate office, and just like,
yeah,
that experience.
Yeah, to know what it's like.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't, yeah, it? Yeah. I wish we could flip the script and not be talking about subjects and be talking about skills,
yeah,
and then applying it to things we love and that, yeah, we care about, exactly, that happen in the world. That could be anything from music through to sustainability and, yeah, how we make sure we've got a planet that is still functioning.
Finding
in
solutions.
However many years. Like, because young people can solve problems. Like, we're all good at solving problems, yeah, but I don't think you realise that when you're, oh, I've got to read this textbook and I've got to do this exam, yeah, and this essay, and it's not aligning.
No.
Which needs to change. It really needs to change, doesn't it?
I'm just not motivated as well. If it's a subject I don't like, I'm like, I don't want to, yeah, be here. I don't want to learn about this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, teachers as well, there are some very, very special teachers out there, and they do bring a lot of magic. And, yeah, when you get a teacher that there was a video and it was a young boy in the States and he started going mad at the teacher and he said, and you're just sitting there, this is my future. And it was, he was so passionate. I was like, yeah, you're right. It is your future. You know, bless teachers because they do have a lot to do with. We've seen since COVID, like their mental health, they need to be looked after as well. You know, as I said, they need a day out of the of the school to go and schmooze some people in industry. And you would see a bounce in their step, I'm sure.
Yeah. And you could send them out to different types of industries and then they could report back on what they learn and kind of...
And help the other teachers, build a network. And also when they're doing their careers events, they could bring people in because they've built a network. Yeah. It's a beautiful ecosystem that we're all creating. Yeah. You know, and if we also... I'm all about collaboration. I think the world... We have to work together to make the impact that we need to make.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love that. Let's get teachers out doing work experience.
Work experience for teachers.
Let's start a campaign for it.
I think we should.
Let's do it together.
Yeah.
Aspiration Digital and DigiLearning together. We can make this happen.
I do. I reckon we can.
What else? Is there anything else on your mind that you want to get from Lisa today?
A top tip for getting out there.
For getting out there. Just keep on knocking on doors. I go up to anyone. People will say to me, they're like, you're so good at talking to people. But I think again it's my childhood. We were like the kids that no one was allowed to play with, so we'd just go around making friends. And we was lucky we had like a domestic violence refuge around the back, so the turnover of your kids was really, really cool. Like we could go and make friends with all these random young people from everywhere. Don't just keep on asking. And if someone says no, so what? It's the next opportunity. There's loads of people out there and amazing people that will want to help you.
Yeah.
I just keep on asking. I went up to, and grab any opportunity. Best thing is Karen Blackett, actually, she used to be the CEO of WPP, amazing woman, so humble. And she was saying, arrive early at the events and stay a little bit behind. Just do a little bit of lingering. And it is interesting, the people that you end up bumping into. I always go up to the speakers as well. If I go to, like, you know, if I was at your event, I would be like, right, I'm going to head up to a speaker. And have been brave heading up to a speaker. Just, I remember going to Soho House Festival and there was Fatboy Slim and my mate Lisa was like, should we get a picture with him? And I would just go up to him. Probably because I've worked on Mobo as well, so you just have to constantly go up to celebrities and ask them stuff anyway, even though they try and say no and you're like, hello. So I said to Fatboy Slim, I was like, you were, because I had read up on him as well, that he was born in Bromley. And I was like, he was born in Bromley, same hospital as me. And he went, oh. And I said, would you do a masterclass for my young people? And he went, DM me and I'll get back to you. So I DM'd him and he did. He came and did a masterclass. He supported our Can for All campaign as well, going to the Cannes Lions a couple of years back. Yeah. So I've just gone up to people and I think that is it. And surround yourself with really good friends as well that are going to lift you. Yeah. Sometimes things won't be aligned. Get into conference, go to anything. We've always given away free tickets to conferences and, you know, just turn up. People say, the other day I got invited to a dinner. I nearly said no. Nearly. I went to this dinner. It was this brilliant, brilliant women's chapter. So all founding females. Absolutely unbelievable. Beautiful food as well in Mayfair. And then anyway, they had a competition for this ridiculous hotel just outside Rome. And if you go online, they don't even have the prices online. I was like, right, I've never ordered a hotel that hasn't been on booking.com. That's
what I'm saying. Same here. Same here.
And they had a competition and I won the competition.
Well, there you go. So I get to go to it.
I know. Wow. So if I had not gone, but also there was another lady there and she founded Go Henry, the cards.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Unbelievable, Lou. And she said to me, you've got to reach out to this lady, Gillian Ashworth. So I've put Gillian Ashworth on the top of my notes. So she was the other week. And then last week I went to Manchester. My friend's launching, Chris Kenner, he's an absolutely amazing entrepreneur. He's launching brilliant AI, all AI stuff up there. He's got like a data center in that. Anyway, and then a woman gets up in the crowd and goes, my name's Gillian Ashworth. And I was like, went up to her, said, you're in the top of my notes.
I need to meet you.
And she's got an amazing charity and she's building a platform for young people that have come from the care system.
Wow.
So I was looking at how we can, you know, again, us all working together.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. And I think it is that some of the best events I've been to are the ones where I've nearly gone, oh, maybe my PJs will be better tonight. But then I suppose, how do you balance that? Because you have mentioned burnout. And I know I saw you in the summer, you were like social mobility month, you were so busy. And then you do end up making yourself sick with it. So how do you find that balance, or have you not cracked that yet? Because I know I struggle.
I think I know at least when I get a cold sores, man. So my body just tells me, Lisa, slow down. You know, you're getting run down. So that is a real trigger warning for me. My body saying, no. But I did overdo it. And so next year, I'm very prepared for that. And I'm rethinking about the things that I really need to support with. And I was just in a bit of, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, waking up going, have I got sign-ups? Oh my gosh, there's another event. We need more sign-ups. That's all. And, you know, we've got such a great community. We didn't have any problems, but I suppose it was the first time I was doing it as well. But yeah, spotting those signs and taking a bit of time out and just going, right, today I'm not going to do anything, and forcing yourself. Sometimes you can't do that and you have to push through, but try and get a good night's sleep. That's really important. Lots of water, looking after what you're eating as well. Food intake, so important.
All helps, doesn't
it really does.
But just listening to yourself, because I think it is tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I suppose students, you end up feeling it when it comes to exam periods. It's similar, isn't it? The level of stress and
I've
got to be here, I've got to show up, I've got to make these things happen. But what can you learn from it? How can you look after yourself? How can you get through it? But
also thinking that's the be all and end all, like an exam result. I've proved that it doesn't really matter. It does. It's really, really important, and it skips loads of rubbish, because obviously I had a lot more of a heartache and I had to go around and twists and bends. But getting those GCSEs and doing the A-levels, those tick boxes, as I told my daughter, she's now at EY doing a degree apprenticeship.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think degree apprenticeships are unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, last week they were talking at the BBC, they've got some amazing ones as well.
Yeah.
Accenture, they actually have a simulator, an apprenticeship simulator, so you can experience some key areas.
Love that.
Yeah. But I think degree apprenticeships, if we could learn something about them and connecting that with school, because what's interesting with degree apprenticeships as well, they're missing that community element, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, so they need to learn from the schools and the universities, and then the vice versa.
Yeah.
So it's quite interesting, but I think there is a big learning. But I wish someone, also I just think the government shouldn't be able to change education. I think there should be a committee, and we need to think about it different.
Yeah.
Someone shouldn't get in and go, we're going to completely change it all. I've got these great ideas, when somebody's thought about it in advance. And I think that's where there could be a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. You need the right minds on it to look at what's the right answer.
Yeah.
Do you think if you could go back to 13-year-old Lisa, do you think she'd believe you could get to where you are today?
No way. No way. I literally had a pinch myself moment. Unbelievable. Even the other week, we went Soho House. My friend Nishma, she used to be really high at Google. She was interviewing Karen Blackett, who was CEO at WPP. And I had my young people like doing content. It's just, I just can't.
Yeah.
Bouncing around on boats.
Yeah.
You can. And even possible, you know, the way these organisations look after us as well is exceptional. You know, like possible, unbelievable. They let us take over. Basically, they put our brand in everywhere. I'm not giving them, you know, they get a lot of money off of brands to do stuff, but they know it's for the young people and that they're helping the future. And actually, they're up for learning from the young people as well.
Love that. I love that. Mm. Any final questions?
No.
You're happy.
Yeah.
What are you going to go away taking?
Don't say no. Oh, no, not don't say no. Don't be down from a no.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't take it.
Yeah. Just take just it. Also, just flick it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just who cares?
Yeah. Next. And also sometimes question it to understand why is that a no, because just so I can learn from it.
Exactly. Yeah. And that is it. I take everything in life as a learning as well.
I think some people forget the importance of asking for that feedback. You find out you didn't get the job and you're like, oh, rubbish, okay, move on. It's like, no, go and find out why didn't you get the job?
Yeah.
What could you have done differently? And sometimes the answer will be, do you know what, there was just someone better. There isn't really anything. And other times they'll be, do you know what, there's this, this, and this, and this. And you're like, wow, okay, that is I can take that and use it.
Yeah. And actually, I think going back and actually doing that and being, if that is your dream organisation you wanted to work with and you're like broken,
yeah,
don't give up. Just keep on contacting the CEO, the marketing, look at the LinkedIn. Like, if they start seeing that you are super passionate, more passionate than most of their team, they're going to be like, do you know what? We need to get this young person in. And that's what's happened to some of our young people. You know, they haven't given in. They've kept going. There's an amazing organisation, Digital Voice, and Faith, and she couldn't get a role. And it was really, really hard for her. And she just didn't stop, and she did some work experience with Digital Voice, and then they came back to her a year later and said, we'd love you to apply for this role. And she did. She's been there, what, 3 or 4 years now, and she's just getting promoted all the time.
Yeah,
she got taken Cannes as well.
Amazing. God. So we need to get to Cannes. Yeah. That's what needs to happen. We'll have that chat. How do we get on the boat?
How do we get on the boat?
Oh, I love it. And so any young people that are listening today that love the sound of how you help young people, how do they get involved?
Yeah, so we have the website, digilearning.co.uk, and then we have a lot of activities going out on the Instagram and LinkedIn specifically. And we have regular events. So actually we have one coming up, you know, at the London Stock Exchange coming up. We just did one at McLaren's headquarters. So keep an eye out, and we're always sharing those opportunities.
Amazing, amazing. And is there anything you feel like you haven't said that you're like, I need young people listening to hear it?
No. I think I know. Yeah, I think they've heard enough of me.
I think they could listen for a lot, lot longer. But I think, honestly, that's been incredible. What a journey. And I'm so pleased you did ignore the no's and keep pushing, because we've now got you here doing what you're doing, which is incredible. And that's been such a brilliant conversation. Thank you so much, Lisa. Thank you so much, Jess. And we look forward to seeing you on a future episode of Behind the Future. That concludes another brilliant episode of Behind the Future. Thank you so much for listening. You can listen back to other episodes on YouTube or your podcast platform of choice. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, as that will help us to grow this podcast, ensuring we can get the best guests on here for you to learn from. You can also follow us on socials, linked in the show notes for exclusive content. See you on the next episode.